17 is just like 6. The difference is we use LSDs and HSDs when we're doing ANOVA to compare means. We use uncorrected tests and Bonferroni corrected tests when we're doing chi-squares. What is alpha inflation and how does one calculate the extent for a given set of chi-square follow-up analyses? Describe the three ways to assess experiment-wise type 1 error. Which of these do you prefer? Explain your answer carefully. I should say that on both 6 and 17, I really don't care which one you prefer. I can muster a good argument for all three and don't like any of them because it's very difficult to unify the three. So you really are free to pick whichever one you want. The point is articulating your reasoning. Okay? That's what I care about. There are some things that I feel so strongly about that I've only showed you one version. Like error terms for calculating certain things. Haven't even brought it up. Probably shouldn't have said it now. Okay? There are other things that really are up for grabs in our community. And it would be dishonest to not put them up for you. All right, so alpha inflation is the idea that when you have a multiple condition chi-square, the omnibus chi-square doesn't tell you what you need, and you're going to do follow-ups. And so, the more significance tests you do, the greater the chances that you're going to reject some of them, the greater the chances that those rejections will accumulate to at least one type 1 error. The extent for a given set of chi-square follow-up analyses is based on how many analyses you did and the probability of a type 1 error for each. There are three ways of calculating those. A priori, you figure out what your rejection criterion is going to be, your p-value, and how many pairwise comparisons you're going to do, and you multiply those two together to get the worst case experiment-wise type 1 error scenario. It's based on how many you're going to do and what risk you're willing to take for each, a priori. Post hoc means, after you've done your follow-up analyses, you look at how many you actually rejected the null. Because only for those that you reject the null can you really make a type 1 error. You then look at the number of times you rejected the null and multiply that times your accepted rejection criterion. Whether it's 0.05, 0.01, 0.0167, whatever you did, corrected or uncorrected for each. The third is an exact post hoc procedure, which requires that you have an exact p-value for each follow-up analysis, and then you add up the exact p-values from those analyses for which you rejected the null. That can be a little cumbersome for chi-square, actually less so than F, because it's easy enough to get on a web page that calculates exact p-values, stick your pairwise into the computator, stick that chi-square, push a button, boom, you get an exact p-value to like 13 decimal places. Then you add those up for all the ones that are significant by whatever significant standard you set.